friend, I'm Rye Myers, your Broadway and Entertainment BFF, and thank you so much for listening to Live with Rye, the podcast. After launching Live with Rye in the fall of 2020 as a digital live stream talk show on YouTube and in the height of the pandemic, and after literally almost everyone calling my digital talk show your podcast, I figured it was finally time to put these episodes in podcast form. So here you go. These episodes, which you will listen to, are from over the last 2 years, starting from fall 2020 through the beginning of 2022, so some of these episodes may focus on topics and events that have already occurred. Consider it your official Throwback Thursday podcast, if you will. But, my dear friend, that's not all. Stay tuned for exclusive new weekly interviews with some of the best and brightest names in the Broadway, pop culture, and entertainment business, because I am your Broadway and Entertainment BFF, after all, and I have interviewed some of the biggest names in show business, from Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Award winners, so you definitely will want to stay tuned to see who I have next. I hope you get value out of this podcast, and so, as they all say before every podcast episode, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to leave a rating and review. But I ask that you please leave a kind review and rating. And listen, if you didn't like an episode, the world does not need more of your negativity, so just don't leave a review then. Anyway, enjoy the podcast and let me know who you'd like to hear. XOXO, Rye Myers, talk show host, producer, and your Broadway and Entertainment BFF. Enjoy the episode. Let's help me welcome my very special guest. I am so excited to chat with her. She is so incredibly talented and such a lovely human. Please help me welcome the incredible Adrienne Walker. Hi, Adrienne.
Hi, Rye. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for doing this. I'm so excited that you wanted to do this. I'm so happy to have you on.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into it.
Amazing. So, where did the inspiration come from to create 32 Bar Cut, including turning it into a video series?
Well, you know what? I was at my in-laws' house in Holt Summit, Missouri, and I had been there for a couple of months with my husband, and I was sitting at their kitchen table and I was like, I have to do something. Like, I didn't, when we got the call that we wouldn't be going back to Broadway for a month, I thought, oh, I'll just take this as a break. And then it turned into 2 months and then 3 months and then 6 months. And so this was about at the three month mark where I decided that I wanted to do something. And so I was picking through my brain, trying to figure out what can I offer? What can I do? Teach classes, what? And so I came across this idea of helping with auditions. Just teaching people how to have a successful audition. I've had the pleasure and opportunity to be a reader for a couple of casting companies. And in doing that, I've learned a lot about what helps people book a job and what keeps them from booking a job. So that's really how the idea came about. And I used the term or the phrase 32 bar cut because when I was first starting out, usually my EPAs or equity principal audition calls would be, they would ask for a 32 bar cut of a song for me to sing. And so I always associated 32 bar cut with auditions, even though it really is like a jazz reference. So I looked online. I was like, hey, you know, is there a web domain for 32 bar cut? And it was available. So I bought it and I just sat on it for the rest of the summer. And then in September, I was like, okay, it's time to really do this. So I started a blog and I started a video series where I just talk to the camera and I talk about how you can have better auditions and what my career experience has been. And what I realized is that there, someone on my level, you know, kind of in the middle, you've done a couple of Broadway shows, but you're not like a star or, you know what I mean? There's no one really on my level that is giving and offering advice so freely. And so I thought, okay, there's a void here that I can fill. And then my husband joined me on it because he's a Broadway conductor and we both have something to offer to help people. And we've just created this community of 32 Bar Cut where we offer advice and we give our opinion on what our experience has been in this career. And then every week we get to sit down, kind of like you and I are sitting down now, and we chat with a friend in the business about their experience. So we try to hit all facets and not just our opinion, but other folks' opinions as well.
I love that. What a great idea and so clever to come up with. And it's gone leaps and bounds. And I love that you've done that. Very exciting. What is something, you're welcome. What is something positive you've learned about the industry in your time interviewing fellow Broadway actors through 32 Bar Cut that either surprised you or you didn't know?
You know what I thought was pretty amazing when I sat down with other actors is that we all have very similar insecurities and stories to tell. And no matter the level, that we all have had moments of feeling like we weren't enough, or, you know, that we could have done better, that we can still do better. And what I've experienced so far in my career is that I have this idea that, okay, what's next? What's next? I'm always thinking about what's next. And I found in sitting down with my colleagues that we all kind of have that common denominator, and that the best thing that we can do is try to work through that and live in the moment. And I think this year off, this 2020 now into 2021, has helped us all to appreciate living in the moment a little better. Everything's quiet. You have to deal with your thoughts. You have to deal with anything you pushed aside just to work, work, work. And it's just been such a joy to sit down and talk with people and connect in that way, because I did feel very disconnected from the theater community. And it was really good to just check in with everyone. And everyone has a different background. But I think what I've learned the most is that we have a lot more in common than I realized, no matter what, how far or leaps and bounds we've made in our career. We're all kind of similar.
For sure. And I mean, that's the beautiful thing about it, is you get to, in a time that's so, you know, isolating for all of us, you get to be able to talk and be able to still have that conversation, even though you're not in person, you know, you're still able to share that connection through the screen. And I think that that's so beautiful. That's sort of what I've been doing with my show, with all being able to just connect with people and, you know, have that interaction. And it's wonderful that you found that connection when you talked to other performers, that you all shared that same, you know, like, what's next? And we all, I feel like performers, but also non-performers, find that same thing too. Like, what's next? Rushing through life, sort of wanting to, you know, worried about what's to come, and, you know, and that it can get the best of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How have you been during this time?
I've been good. You know, it's been a whirlwind. It's been up and down. Sort of, you know, like with you, in the beginning, I thought, okay, you know, this is going to be temporary. And you know, the summer came and it was still going on. And, you know, for the first 4 or 5 months, I was just sort of trying to find my my place, and, you know, was just, you know, wasn't doing the healthiest of stuff, you know, staying up real late, you know, waking up late. And then around September, I thought, you know what, like, I need to, this is a perfect opportunity. People are doing things they've wanted to do. Look at the opportunities ahead that you can do. And I thought, all right, well, let me at least use this time productively. And so then I was like, well, I've always wanted to do a talk show. I was like, let me create my own. You know, people are doing live streams. And I did that. And then it sort of snowballed from there. And so many opportunities came. But, you know, I'm doing well, and I'm much better now to know, now seeing that we have a Broadway reopening on the horizon, life performance is returning, and just being able to embrace and knowing that I'm able to embrace people more in person, you know, that I'll be able to see somebody smile and be able to see my friends again. And that's wonderful. But I'm doing well. And in a way, you know, like, for a lot of people, while this pandemic has been so horrible, that's been a blessing in disguise, because I've learned a lot. I've lost a lot, but I've also, there's been so many positive things. You know, I've created this platform, which has led to many other opportunities. And, you know, we were discussing earlier about Broadway Plus, that led to, you know, me being able to, you know, be one of their lead hosts, and just all these other opportunities. And so it's, you know, I've been good. There's been small blessings in this, but it's, I'm excited to put it behind me. Thank you so much for asking. Nobody's ever asked me that. Thank you.
Oh yeah. I learned that from my friend Stephanie. When I first started interviewing people for the show, she in turn started asking me questions. I was like, wait, what? And I realized that really helps it feel like a conversation. She taught me such a great lesson early on. So now whenever I do an interview, when someone's interviewing me, I always try to engage a little more. And so, yeah, it's Stephanie Styles for the win.
Yes. Oh, she's lovely. I saw her in Kiss Me Kate. You were in it as well. I saw you in it. And then I saw her in the Newsies on tour. So.
Oh, yeah. Stephanie is great. Oh, man. She's such a good person and one of a kind. Definitely one of a kind.
Well, what great advice, because it's true, you know, and your interviews are incredible. So I love that you're taking on the interview hat. You're taking on the interview hat and interviewing people. I think that's wonderful. So you've created a subscription-based service for some of the content you do, including second part of some of your conversations are subscription-based. From a creative business standpoint and perspective, what have you learned about doing this? You know, this is something I've kind of struggled with because, you know, we want to create and have our stuff monetized and you know, makes money. But you always worry too, like, well, people want to buy. Who am I to sort of charge? Like, are they going to? So what has that process been like for you? And what have you learned about providing content at a paid price for people?
You know what? I think that's such a great question, because when in designing anything, there's always this risk and all this mystery of what's going to work and what won't work. And so when Austin and I were deciding about any type of payment, we were on the fence. So at first we were just going to do a Patreon account. And then when we realized that Squarespace had memberships, you could upgrade your website to a membership. We went ahead and upgraded it to a membership, and then Austin proceeded to code and design the whole website. Like, he's like a little mega genius over there. But so he designed the website, and in doing all that work and really polishing it and both of us just taking responsibility of the platform, we felt like it was worth it to us to have some type of monetization level on it. And so we let all of our guests know that the second portion of the interview would be going on a subscription-based only part. And surprisingly, everyone was cool with that. And we were nervous about that, you know, asking people, hey, do you mind if we have an interview with you and then charge people to watch it? And but we try to keep the show proper that we release on YouTube, the big portion of the show, because our main goal is for people to get something from the show. It's not for us to make money. And so the curtain call, the second part of the show, is as long as the guest really wants it to go. It's sometimes it's 20 minutes, sometimes it's another hour. But yeah, it was kind of scary to do that, you know, but I think with any business, you have to decide what your worth is. There's really great services in New York for women starting new businesses. And so I did a Google search and I reached out to one, and they mentored me starting in November. They mentored me from November to March and just kind of helped me with a business plan and even connected me with a lawyer and just everything I needed to kind of understand my worth and put it in a platform from a business standpoint. I think as artists, we forget the business side a lot. We just want to share, create. But there's a business side to it that we have to add to protect ourselves and to, you know, add value to our product.
Yes. You know, I so agree. And you saying that has inspired me sort of even more. You know, it's a tough process to decide. But as you said, you need to know your worth and protect yourself, your artistic integrity. And so I like that you've done that. And that's been a process for me, too, that I've, you know, thought about. Like, do you do Patreon? You know, do you subscribe? I use Wix. And they have your certain articles, you can do like a paywall. And I'm like, oh, you know, maybe like 99 cents or something. But you have to realize, as you said, what your worth is, and know that, you know, when you're creating something, you know, it's okay to, you know, to ask for you know, payment. You're doing this, you're creating your business, you're creating something, and you know, you want to be valued. And I think that's important. And I love that you got, you know, paired up and the mentor for that women's group, that they hooked you up with all the right resources. I mean, that's just really, like, you can't buy that. That's just wonderful.
Yeah, I don't even know how it came across my mind for a second. I was like, wait, is there someone that can help me? Like, how do I wrap my mind around starting a business? And there are services in place for women, for marginalized groups, for minority groups. If you want to start a business in New York, there are businesses that will help you. For anyone listening that's curious about that, there are services that can help you with that.
Oh, well, that's just great to know. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, if you're interested, please, you know, look that up, because that's important for anyone, especially, as you said, for marginalized communities, too. That's wonderful that there's so much help out there. So we've learned last month that Broadway is officially coming back, and one of the first shows to be welcomed back is The Lion King on September 14th, where you will be returning to as the queen of Pride Rock, Nala. I've gotten to see you in it. You are incredible. I love the show, but I've seen you in it, and it's just you're just wonderful. What are you most looking forward to with the return?
Thank you so much, Rye. I am most looking forward to appreciating it more. I think that, I know that sounds crazy. Like, what do you mean you're Nala on Broadway? You didn't appreciate it. I think I was so overwhelmed by everything. You know, I moved to New York for this role. I hadn't gotten a chance to adjust to the city or anything. I got married 3 months after my debut, and I just never stopped. And so now I'm ready to come back stronger and more at peace with my inner self. And so I think I'm really in a place to appreciate it more and really live in it. And so I'm really looking forward to that, because to do the show stronger means less pain, or maybe even no pain. And that means I'm going to be happier and more excited and a better coworker. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, if I were doing an interview on ABC or something like that, and they wanted me to give the right answer, I would say that I'm really looking forward to telling the story again.
Right.
It's a beautiful story. And I when I put my costume on, I'm probably going to cry or something. But I'm really looking forward to telling a story that I believe in and that I love.
Well, I'm just so happy to hear that. And I mean, I totally know what you mean by when you say, you know, appreciate it more. I've heard that from a lot of people. I think everybody has a sense of a sense of appreciation that they're going to bring to whatever they do. And it's okay to say that, you know, like you were not appreciated, but you now look back at it and you say, okay, you know, I can look at this as a different perspective and I appreciate what I have. I mean, for me, I took for granted being able to see shows all the time and, you know, being able to be in New York and, you know, and now not having that for 16 months as from a creative standpoint, being like, wow, and now appreciating every little thing, going to a show or going to get this experience. It's, you know, and I can't wait to see it and see you in it. It's a beautiful show. And yeah, for those who don't know, you may be living under a rock, but that's okay. September 14th is when Broadway is officially returning with Wicked, The Lion King, and Hamilton's, or well, and Chicago, but Wicked, Hamilton, and Lion King are partnering together, and they're opening, and they're doing a very exciting thing. They're opening sort of a half hour in between each other, separate curtain calls at different times, so the press can get there and cover each one, sort of what they did after 9/11, so you have all the press cover it. So it's going to be a special night, and as I said to you earlier, I have my ticket for Wicked that night, and I'm just... I don't think I will, even if I prepare myself, I don't think I'll be prepared. And I can't imagine what the performers on stage like you will feel. So
it's going to be an exciting night. It will be like nothing else. The closest thing I can think of it might be like was when The Lion King hosted the 20th anniversary. That was really incredible. But this is just different because that felt very intimate. Like anyone that was a part of the Lion King family could feel how powerful that was. But now, since we as a whole world have experienced something together, I think it's just going to be, I don't know. I'll let you know on September 15th afterwards what it was like. But.
Right. No, I agree. And throughout this, you know, it's funny. There's a song from The Lion King that stuck out to me that I've used sort of as inspiration for this time. And Endless Night, you know, at the end they say, I know that the clouds must clear and that the sun will rise. I know that this night must end and the sun will rise. And I've said that to myself several times over these last 16 months. And it's not been easy, but it's crazy how, I mean, this song is beautiful and it's, you know, but how that song really has just had a lasting impact on me, because it is true. You know, the clouds will clear, the sun will rise. I'm probably getting it wrong, I know, but I know that the clouds must clear and that the sun will rise. I know that the night must end. And it's been a really powerful thing for me during this time.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite songs. It's hard to pick a favorite in The Lion King because I just love all the music. But Endless Night is so different from the other songs in the show, even though there's some votive voting here and there. But I think it's a beautiful song, and it's such an intimate moment to have on stage. And so, yeah, it definitely speaks to what we've been experiencing. And it's been a long night. It has felt like an endless night. And it's, you know, like there's no end in sight. And so I think we're finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And we'll just keep throwing in musical theater references as we go along.
It's the only way you survive this craziness is to throw musical theater references, and it makes everything better. What has been your favorite part of playing Nala in The Lion King?
I think my favorite part about it is the personal growth. I feel like she's such a strong character. She's so strong in her convictions and what she believes in, what she stands for. And she doesn't waver from that. And, you know, I would like to take that into my life and be very strong about convictions. And I think in order to do that, you have to have integrity and maybe come from a place where not only do you know yourself, but you know that your core, your center is good. You know, I feel like Nala's core and center are good and come from a good place. And so I love being able to experience someone like that and strive to be someone like that.
I love that. I totally agree. I think that's great. I love it. So you've done a lot of Q&A mentoring group events and Q&A over this pandemic, including some events with Broadway Plus, sort of as we mentioned earlier. What's it been like to be able to bring your story and career and lessons to people who may not have had the opportunity otherwise to hear it and experience it?
I love that part of this whole experience. Honestly, quite a few things I did not love about the past few months, but I love, because there's been groups that have reached out to me in the past that wanted me to fly in, or, you know, I've even done like a Google Hangout or Google Meet. I get them all confused for my cousin's school. She's a principal at a school, and every year I do a Q&A with them, but I've never been able to fly out or anything like that. And so for everyone to be doing that now is so amazing, because students or, you know, just theater lovers all over who would never have gotten a chance to talk with one of them and ask them their questions, they're now able to do that no matter where they are in the world. And so I think that is one of the rewards that we've gotten from this experience. And for me, it's given me, I don't know, somehow, like I told you, I just feel more able to be myself, that I don't really ever feel inclined to give the right answer. I feel like whatever answer is speaking to me in that moment is the right answer. And now I feel like in my life, I will take that with me, you know? And I think that's as helpful as we can be, because if we are all just pretending like we're okay, then people who aren't okay will never feel the freedom or the bravery to say, hey, I'm not okay. And so I think it's really good when people who look like they're doing well say, hey, I'm not always okay. It just puts us all in the same field. And so, yeah, I feel very empowered to say I'm not okay, but also to tell the truth about my experiences. And I don't think that I would have felt encouraged to do so if we hadn't experienced this whole Zoom and virtual way of talking to each other.
I agree. Wow. I love that. You You are right. I love it. Love it. Love it. You're saying some great things. You always do. I love the response. It's so powerful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I understand you've been working with Roundabout Theater Company on the new virtual reading of Zora Neale Hurston's, I hope I pronounced the name right, Spunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit more about this?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Zora Neale Hurston, the author of Their Eyes Were Watching God, you know, like a I'm sorry, I'm forgetting how to speak English, but she was a huge player in the Harlem Renaissance era, right? And so apparently everyone thought that they had all of her works and that nothing was lost. Well, in 1997, they found this work called Spunk. Not to be confused with George C. Wolfe's Spunk. This is a different Spunk, and it was written by Zora Neale Hurston, and it's set in a town that looks very similar to the town that she grew up in, I think in northern Florida. And so Spunk is about this lonesome guitar player who wanders into this town and just causes a whole ruckus. And so I play the character Ruby, who falls for Spunk immediately, but he never really answers her love calls. He falls for Evelina instead. And so I say that Ruby is desperate and forgotten. So that's the role that I played in that. And I had a really great time. And what was so special about that experience for me, it was a virtual reading that Roundabout was doing in collaboration with Black Theater United to uplift Black voices and to bring works that have been forgotten or otherwise wouldn't get a chance to be produced, to produce them on this like virtual platform. So what was amazing for me is that I got my start in theater in the Chicago theater community. I spent 6 years in Chicago working there, learning the everybody. And then I moved here to do The Lion King. And I felt like I had to start all over with, you know, learning and growing and meeting people. Well, the director of Spunk was Lily Ann Brown, and she is a director, a Black female director in Chicago. And so she didn't hire a bunch of New York actors. She hired a bunch of Chicago actors. And so for a week, I got to sit down with all of my friends and do this reading and be desperate and forgotten. And it was just one of the highlights of last month for sure. And so that was streaming, I want to say like 3 weeks ago, but it's all limited. But if you want to see some of their other works that they're going to be doing, just head over to roundabouttheater.org and check out their link for streaming them. They're all free, but you're only able to stream them over a weekend as they release them. So just sign up. They'll email you, notify you, and you can stream all of these different plays that they're putting on over the summer.
Well, that sounds very exciting. I'll definitely check it out. And I'm so glad you got to be a part of that. Really sounds like such an exciting piece. And I'm glad that they found it. You know, I'm glad that we're able to hear that story because that sounds really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so uplifting. It was just what I needed.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear. Well, what do you hope to bring to your future roles when theater returns that you've learned over this last year and many months? I lost track of how many months it's been, but what do you hope to bring to your future roles?
I want to bring some more bravery, especially in the rehearsal space. I think when I was first starting out, I was like, hey, let's do this. Let's try this. And then as I got deeper into my career and moved up a level or another level, I just had fear in being wrong or taking risks or being more creative and just waiting for the director to tell me, oh, his vision or her vision and what they wanted. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to play. I want to figure it out together. And if I'm wrong, okay, wrong choice. Let's move on. But I just want to give myself more access to being brave about being creative in a public space. So I'm excited for the opportunity to do that.
I hope you get the chance because that's wonderful. Brave. That is great. Love it. And I hope you get the chance to. I mean, that is such a strong thing to be. And you know, I'm glad you've come to that point where you've been able to, because I would not be able to do that. I'm not a performer, but I wouldn't be able to be so, you know, I'd be all uptight and be so like worried about doing it right. So that's great.
I'm uptight by nature. I am a naturally uptight person. Like I've been called uptight since I was 8, you know, like, so I get it.
Yeah. I'd be like, I don't like want to mess up, you know, robotic, you know, what do you hope theater will bring when it returns, from this hiatus? What do you hope, it will bring?
I hope a little more honesty. I want to see, I don't want to see the corporate answers or the, you know, I'm afraid of the big bad social media crowd mob. I want to see honesty. And through honesty, we can actually have some real change when it comes to the grievances that have been presented to the producers of Broadway. I want to see a little more honesty, and I want to see people being willing to be vulnerable and see some change happen from the top.
I think that is so important. We need that. It's imperative. And there's been so many calls for that. And I'm, you know, it's happening a little bit. I hope it continues, because it's much needed, as you said, really so important. And, you know, everything has for a reason, and I think theater needed this, unfortunately. Didn't need this pandemic, but needed to go through the change that it has gone through. And, you know, I totally agree. And, I'm looking forward to exactly what you said and so much more, because it needs to happen. What do you hope people will take away from 32 Bar Cut when they experience? What's your hope for people?
I hope that they're encouraged. That was really the heart of it, is mm-hmm. that everyone's story is different. But if you have the passion in your heart to become a performer or to even just have a career in theater in any aspect, I hope that when you visit 32 Bar Cut or you watch an episode and you laugh with us, that you leave feeling encouraged. I think that a lot of times we talk to our guests, and Austin and I talk to each other about life lessons. They don't necessarily have to be theater related. So I just hope whenever someone comes by 32 Bar Cut, for a moment, for an hour, for if you want to subscribe, but I hope that they leave encouraged and changed for the better.
I think that's so important. And that's one of the things that I love about what you're doing with 32 Bar Cut, is you're honest. You're being honest. You're having these unfiltered conversations. You know, you're allowing the artists their time, and you are just, you're asking so many important questions, but you're also so inquisitive, and you, it's the honesty is what's really important. And it shows in the interviews you've done and what you do. And you have to bring honesty to all you do. And, you know, you can really see that in it. And I think that that's what's really made it so special for people.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you. That means a lot.
You're welcome. Well, it is very, very true, really. And I can just, you know, I love listening to your interviews on there. You're so full of passion and inspiration and honesty. And it's I know it's not always easy. I mean, it's not always easy to, you know, put yourself out there. So I really just, you know, my pretend hat goes off to you, you know.
So. Well, I know, you know, because you've been doing these interviews every Tuesday. It is not, it can be challenging to, you know, you research everyone and then you talk to them and you want to make sure the conversation goes well. And it's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, reaching out and getting people and, you know, talking with people and, you know, making sure technology works and dealing with, you know, those quirks and everything in between and, you know, hoping you'll have a lot to say and it'll be good. And, it is a lot, but, you know, so you're totally, totally right about that. What advice do you have for aspiring young performers as they start their professional career, especially coming out of this last 14 months where things have looked so differently and they're entering into an industry that will be much different than it was than it was 16 months ago when they were still in their training?
Yeah, if I were in that position, I would want to tell my younger self that even though we just came out of this pandemic or we're still trying to recover from it, that your career could possibly look on and off just like this time period has been. So that's something to take into account. One is that there are dry spells in this career. But if your cornerstone is that you have a passion for this and you want to do it, then you just have to listen to that voice and not give up. And what I'm experiencing now, because I really want some type of future in TV and film, is that the closer I get, it feels like the further I get. Like I'm getting more and more auditions, but and I'm getting director sessions, and I'm thinking, this is it. And then they go another way. This is it. And then they go another way. And that is this career, and it can wear you down, and it can make you feel like you're, you know, you have no business doing this, and what are you doing? And you can't let those voices take control. I have a really great coach, acting coach. Her name is Heidi Marshall. And I told her about this big audition I had, and that I almost booked it and then I didn't, and that I was still having trouble getting over that. And so she said, hey, I want to talk to you. Let's talk. So we got on the phone, and she reminded me that there are voices, right? And there are voices telling you that you're not good enough, that you're never going to make it or whatever. But there are so many other voices saying those opposite things, that you are good enough. Look at how far you've gotten. Look how talented you are. Look how amazing you are. And she's like, you have to choose the voices that you're going to listen to. Listen to the right voices. Don't listen to the other voices. And when you listen to the positive voices, you create a narrative that is positive. When you listen to the negative voices, you create a narrative that is negative. And that completely changed my outlook. It's exactly what I needed to hear. And so I would just say to aspiring musical theater actors, to already working musical theater actors or theater actors or whatever you have that you're planning on doing with your life, listen to the positive voices and stay the course, because it's worth it. And like I've heard this before, I'm sure you've heard it too, that the only difference between you and, I don't know, a million other people, the person that made it and the person that didn't, is that the person that made it just didn't give up. And that's what this business is like. It's, you just don't give up, and it'll, things will turn your way.
You are so right about that. And it's so hard to remember at times, you know, especially when we're in the trenches, to not give up, but you know, it, don't give up. That's exactly, that is so, so true. And tell those negative voices. And I always like to remember the piece of paper that I had hanging up that my high school counselor gave me. Tell those negative voices inside your head to sit down and shut up.
Yes.
Easier said than done, but you know, it is so true, and to never give up. I agree. What have you learned about yourself as an actress during these last 16 months, 18 months, who knows how long it's been this point? And how has it made you stronger?
What I've learned is, and what's been really helpful, is that I've had a lot of TV and film auditions. And so I'm still getting a chance to like work that muscle. And what I've learned in them is that there's no like, there's no puzzle. There's no like, I'm losing my words, but there's like no quick way to, there's no like play by play. Here's how you break down a scene and this is what you do. It, for me, it's more about listening, finding the humanity in the character, and just bringing that forward. And that's just what I've been trying to do every time I get a chance to do it. And also making peace with just the audition being the end point. You know what I mean? Like, just enjoy the audition, do the work of the audition, and leave it alone. Do the audition, leave it alone. Throw the sides away, you know? Right. So that, just try to be, bring my humanity to it and me to it.
that's all you can do. And that is all you can do. So important. Thank you for sharing that. Well, if you want to keep up with me, for those of you watching, you can head to Rye_Myers on Instagram and Twitter. I'm also on Facebook at Official Rye Myers on Facebook. Adrian, before we go, why don't you tell us, where can we follow you, keep up with you? What are your websites? All that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, I am on Instagram at A Song Is In My Heart. And if you want to check out 32 Bar Cut, you can go to at 32 Bar Cut. We're on Instagram there. And if you want to check out our website, it's easy. It's just 32barcut.com. And if you want to check out my website, really, it's more so for hiring purposes, but if you just want to see what I do, you can check me out at adrianmwalker.com. Yeah, that's it.
Amazing. Well, that is wonderful. Well, Adrian, I am so excited for the future of theater. I'm so excited to see you return to The Lion King and all the other projects you have coming your way, because I know you are going to have so much success in not only theater, but in TV, film. I can see it. I can feel it. I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you for taking the time to chat with me, really. And it was so great to talk with you more and hear more of your story. And, you know, you are just an incredible human, and thank you for doing this.
It has been my pleasure. It was so great to sit down and chat with you, Rye. I love your show. Thank you for having me and congratulations on doing something new and just, you know, diving in, being brave.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Adrian.
Hi, friend. It's Rye Myers, your Broadway and Entertainment BFF. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Live with Rye, the podcast. I hope you got value out of it. Hey, do me a big favor. Download this episode and make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and also leave me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The more 5-star ratings and review that I have, the better this podcast does. So I need your help and support. So make sure you leave that 5-star rating and review wherever you get your podcast. And hey, if you want to watch this episode or all my other podcast episodes in video form, you can click the link in the show notes to go to my YouTube channel, where you can see all of these episodes in video form. It's really, really cool. So make sure you head over there to watch this in full video form as well. Well, thank you so much for watching, and I will see you next Thursday for another episode of Live with Rye the Podcast. Make sure you keep it locked here for all episodes of Live with Rye the Podcast. Thanks so much, and have a great night.